We're next going to have Brother Rick Sconyer serve us, and Brother Rick has selected as his topic, self. We'll turn the meeting over to Brother Rick.
Thank you, Brother Mike. Self, the identity, character, essential qualities. One's own person as distinct from all others. One's own interests, welfare, or advantage. That's Webster's thoughts on what self is. The ways we act, the ways we speak, our thoughts, our mannerisms, who we are, what we do, the ways we live our lives each and every day. That's how we make oneself to be. We are all individuals. We all have separate characteristics that make each and every one of us very unique. Isn't that how God intended it to be? For if we were all the same character, how would life be? God wanted mankind to be a free moral agent and one to live a life as separate individuals. If not, he could have just put a race on this earth all at once and been done with it. And that goes even to the heavenly realm, where they created the same with the same thoughts and same interests. I think we all know what the answer is to that. We see that from the scriptures that tells us how the Logos told the Heavenly Father how he wanted him to send him and make that sacrifice that he made. He gave up that position, of that heavenly position. And we can also take it into the account of how the other morning star was completely the opposite, how Lucifer fell from his position. And what about the angels? Some of the angels, how they fell. They took it upon themselves to try to change God's plans, and they fell as well. Each had their own identities, just like our parents, first parents. God told them to multiply and fill the earth. But he also told them to obey. We touched upon that this morning. And we know what happened there. But because of their individuality, they made their decision of which way they wanted to take. And we know it was the fatal decision that has affected all of mankind today. And so it is with us today. We too are separate individuals. We choose the ways we live. And that is what we would like to discuss this morning. The ways we let self be. In business, we all know that managers or supervisors are the ones that monitors employees to make sure that the work is not only done, but hopefully done correctly. But as for self, who watches it? Who keeps an eye on what it's doing? Are we to watch others and see if they are doing what is right according to our interpretations? It's so easy to see and note the imperfections of others, isn't it? It's so very easy to open our mouths and be quick to correct others or talk about others. Why? Why is it so easy? Because it's someone else. It's not self. When we correct self, what does it do? How does it make you feel? God allows us to experience things in our lives, and for what reason? To learn. Do we learn from our experiences? Do you want to know how I learn from my experiences? I learn them through multiple lessons. Is that how some of you are? Yeah, the same thing, learning from multiple lessons. Not a very good way, is it? Well, what are we going to do about it? The easiest answer to this is learn the first time. But you know, self doesn't like to be corrected. Self doesn't want to go through trials and tribulations. Self wants things to always be good. Self likes and wants things to always be easy and not troublesome. Self, sometimes when we let it, thinks of self. And this is where we must draw the line. When we let self think of self, then something else comes into view. Even the word self becomes something bigger than what it should be. Self now becomes selfish. What does selfishness bring? P-R-I-D-E. Definition, haughty, high opinion of oneself, conceited, arrogant, usually a delight in one's own abilities. Is this how we are to let self be? I'm so much better than they. I'm number one. I like the way I do things. I know more about the truth than any other brother. I can quote scriptures quicker and faster than anyone else can. I like my answers, and I don't care about anybody else's. Now, brethren, don't think these are the examples that are from me. These are just examples to be used. But the real catch here is that these statements don't always have to be said, do they? They can be thought in our minds. And who can read our minds? Definitely gives us something to think about, doesn't it? But did you notice something in each of these statements? They all had this small little word in each one. The small word was I. It seems to always try to make itself bigger than what it really is. It's almost like the fishing story. One who caught the fish, when they tell about it, it's this big. This big, this big. Before you know it, you can't even touch, you know, your hands can't spread out any further. But in reality, I love this because this is something that came from my grandfather, and he has his expressions. When in reality, it was really a two-finger size. Even when you say the word pride, doesn't the I stand out more than the other sounds? Pride. Say it slowly with me. Pride. Well, let's look even closer at this and notice something else. Where is the I in pride? Looky there. It's in the middle. It's just like the one who's speaking, the I person. They always want to be in the center of attention. They always want to be heard and seen by others. They want to have that audience. Who does this remind you of? Of course, we all know how Lucifer wanted to be like the Most High. Those five statements he made, all having the same small word in each one. Remember how he said very arrogantly how he wanted to be? Isaiah 14:13-14. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of congregation in the uttermost parts of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Boy, he really put himself on the highest pedestal one could ever put themselves on, did he? Spiritual pride was Lucifer's mistake, which led to his complete downfall. But that really wasn't the one I was wanting to touch upon this morning or consider. What about Goliath? Remember how he was? He was about over almost 10 feet tall. I think he's like 9 feet 9, something like that, what I read and studied. But with his helmet on, he could have been a foot or two more taller. He was the fighting champion of the Philistines. He was very arrogant, and he taunted the Israelites. But just like that letter I in the word pride, he wanted everyone's attention. He made his challenges and boasts known for 40 days and nights straight, morning and evening. His armor alone weighed over 220 pounds. The beam on his spear was 3 inches thick, and the spearhead weighed over 25 pounds. I remember back in high school when I was on track team, I used to throw the shot put. It's a round ball, like it. And it was 16 pounds. And I thought when I threw it 15 feet or 20 feet, I thought that was pretty good. Or those for you that bowl, some of you that bowl, the heaviest bowling ball is what? 16 pounds? Amazing. This person throwing something that's 25 pounds at the end of one end, and we don't even know what the weight was of the beam itself. Unbelievable. Superhuman strength, if you think about it. He even had a person that went before him holding his shield. Which makes me sort of laugh at this. Because the person didn't do a good job. Maybe when Goliath saw David, he told the shield bearer to sit this one out. Or maybe vice versa, the shield bearer saw David and he just said, well, there's no need for this. David, although being small and young, didn't have any armor except God's protection, which we know was more than any human armor could ever be. He chose the smooth, well-rounded stones and put Goliath in his place by telling him what exactly he was going to do, and to prove that his God was the true God of Israel. Now, is David speaking proudly here? I think we could say yes. But the major difference is he's not speaking of self. So we can have the second thought of how we can view pride. That's the difference. When the word itself does not become a selfish act. Anything selfish is contrary to God. We all know how the story ended, and a lot of great examples can be gathered from it. but we don't have the time to go into that. One thing we can say here is we are admonished to fight the good fight of faith. So, who is it that we fight? I think we could categorize them as our three Goliaths. They're all tremendous, huge, and more powerful to overcome as the one we were just speaking of. But you know what the greatest battle is with? Well, if you said flesh and self, I think we could say that's correct. To battle self is the greatest battle we encounter every day of our lives. So at the end of the day, do we tally up to see how we did? Not to be boastful, but to examine the events of the day. Were we conquerors today? And did we give the Lord the praise and thanksgiving for helping us and protecting us? Or did we fail? One thing we can definitely be thankful for is even though we fail, we still have the assurance that we can go to Him in prayer for forgiveness of our failures and pray for more wisdom and guidance and more of the Holy Spirit to direct us through those experiences to defeat our Goliaths. He's always there for us. How do we know this is the greatest battle we have in our lives to fight self and its interests? Let's take a look at some scriptures. It says, "He that ruleth his own spirit, mind, will, is better than he that taketh the city." It's Proverbs 16:32. Pretty self-explanatory. In Proverbs 25:28, it gives us the opposite of what happens if we don't rule our minds and wills. It says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit or mind is like a city which is broken down and without walls." What happens to a city without walls? Becomes an easy target, doesn't it, for the enemies? If the city had walls, it would seemingly have some protection from the outside. Really, all of this pertains to us as having self-control. For if we do not use this, we will definitely fall. We will fall short of being the overcomer. A vital part that is necessary to be a part of the bride class. Those who have consecrated their lives knows that the body, our mind, and will belongs to the Lord. And we must battle and fight and keeping this flesh, self, under control. This, as we all know, is an everyday struggle and lasts till when? Our last breath. Everything or anything that takes us away from the Lord, whether it be in the smallest issues of life to the ones that seem to overwhelm us at times. Self-control. We have to control it or it will control us down the wrong path. We have to exercise self-control in all things. Wouldn't you agree that in this day and age, that seems to be harder and harder to do? There's so much greed, selfishness, anxiety, hate, malice, anger, jealousy. And I think the one who really seems to stand out more is rage. You can be minding your own business and before you know it, you're in a confrontation. Because your car lights are brighter to the person in front of you. And you don't have your brights on. He pulls over and gives you a piece of his mind. Self wants to defend itself. And before you know it, we're acting just as poorly as the other. Or someone says something about us that really wasn't right. Wasn't right for them to say. That may be true. It wasn't right. Almost immediately, self dives in, jumps in, and wants to again defend itself and put them in their place. Now, is that the right way? Or how are we to be? Did you know that self-control is one of the most important elements of a good character? But who are we all to strive to pattern our lives after? Our characters, our conducts, our self. The pattern and footsteps laid out by our Lord Jesus, of course. Philippians 4:5 says that we should even let our moderation, which is temperance or self-control, be known unto all men. So this tells us we are to be examples to others. Can we ask within ourselves right now, are we examples? If not, what must we do? I know I need to earnestly pray that I can have better self-control in my daily dealings with this world. It's so easy to get caught up in the tendencies of the flesh and letting self run away with our lives. Isn't this exactly what Satan wants us to do? Lose self-control. Losing self-control can play a big part in us losing our crowns. That's how important it is. I'm sure we all had heard the expression, being full of oneself. Again, if we desire to be a part of that class, we are told to be emptied of self in every sense. In fact, we are to be dead to self. And alive towards who? God through Christ Jesus. Let's take a look at the scripture in Proverbs 16:18. Again, speaking on this word pride. Pride goeth before destruction. Perfect example of this, of how being full of oneself, or the use of another expression, having a big head. It's found in the story of King Uzziah. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Remember who he was? He was a king of Judah at the age of 16, and he reigned for 52 years. He was a great and prosperous king in Jerusalem, and he started off with a very good beginning, being reverential to God, and accomplished many things, political and military. His name was known and spread abroad. Whoops. Here we go. That's all it needed. That's all it needed to start to crumble. Knowing that he was well known and liked by all, he started to become full of himself and have us, as we said, big head of conceit.